This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello, and welcome to Sunday's Supplement.
Hello.
I think I was saying hello to the readers.
Well, yeah, the readers do like to be addressed in a casual manner.
I could have said, what's up, for instance.
No, you could have said sup.
Sup.
Sup, which is,
dudes.
Yeah, which is not only very cool, but also how medieval people used to eat.
I just want to reassure people that our share price, although it is going down, we do actually have quite a lot of cash assets.
I've organised with Gordon Brown some government investment. He's giving me a massive injection of funds.
Well, that's the euphemism he used.
And as a result, we're becoming extremely buoyant. So that's good on all markets.
I also quite like the idea that we're in a free market, but the government will pretty much buy any bad debt at the moment.
Well, that's what happens when you've got your essential industries tied up in the private sector, Simon. I mean, hey, if we hadn't put all of our pensions into other financial investments, then it wouldn't matter if a bank went down. But as a result, it means all of us in old age are going to starve to death unless we bail them out.
I am right in thinking that essentially America has nationalised the credit industry now.
Pretty much, yeah. It's really funny. I mean, this is America, so like, land of the free, home of the entrepreneur who can't handle it and wants to go crying home every time he makes a mistake.
Big government's horrible until you need it.
Exactly. It's just really funny. This is why we're going to become socialists now. So everybody, put on your red jackets, get your standard haircut, and we will meet you outside to shovel snow. Come on, comrades, we can do it.
Talking of which, I bought the Sunday Mirror this week.
Oh, well, there is a socialist paper.
Well, it seems to think it is, but I don't think it really is.
It's really not, is it?
No, not at all.
It's quite pathetic. I bought the Telegraph this week, right. Which actually on the money and jobs section, it has, don't panic, your guide for surviving the economic meltdown. The family, best savings and mortgage deals, plus how to put your children's head in paper bags. The saver, keeping your money safe in the bank. The investor, protect what you have. And the banker, how to deal with redundancy. I'm not making that up, apart from the paper bag things. You don't need to put your children's head into paper bags, though if you do, it might save them a lot of torment, because if you're listening to this, you doubtlessly have very ugly children.
One of my friends builds kind of corporate games, and a large European bank this week asked him to make one of those buzzwire games where you've got to move the
hoop of potential, looping it over the wire of misery.
Yeah.
An economic meltdown.
Well, the bank actually asked him to make it in the shape of the graph of market price of last week.
That's really quite cool. That'd be quite a difficult one, because there's quite a lot of up and down in it. Well, especially recently, when it's just gone vroom, straight up again because of our governments bailing us out of trouble, because we can't look after ourselves, evidently. We need our bottoms wiping.
That's the sound of Izzy cutting things out of her paper.
Snip, snip.
Whether or not she's going to keep them, we're about to find out.
Fold.
Isn't that what you do to a horse that's pregnant?
It's also what you do in the game of poker, Simon. It's particularly what you do because you're a loser.
Well, we'll see when it comes to Article or Farcical later who's the real loser, shall we?
Yeah, we shall. And it will be you.
Yeah, no doubt. So why did you get the Telegraph this week anyway?
Well, I got it because there was a free Cracker DVD for every reader. Oh yeah, Cracker, Robbie Coltrane, Grumpy, Cracker, wow, Hagrid shaved, yeah. But you have to send away for it. But on the other hand, it's a really good deal. You just have to pay for postal packaging and they'll send you like a good Cracker DVD. Or all 11 feature-length episodes for only £49, which is very cheap.
It's not bad at all.
So I'm tempted by that. But I've got till the 6th of October to decide and I don't know what to do.
I would perhaps have a look on the internet and see if you can actually find it cheaper anywhere.
£74 on Amazon. And the trouble is that I've just bought, like literally I'm working through all the Inspector Morses at the moment. That's good.
There's a good deal on Morse, wasn't there?
There was a good deal. £52 on Morse, so I got them.
For like 30,000 episodes.
But it's all 8 series, and it's about 4 episodes a series.
2-hour episodes.
Yeah, and some of the series have got 5 episodes in them. So it's good. There's a lot of coming on Lewising going on. There's not a lot of coming on Lewis.
That wouldn't be Morse, would it? That would be Inspector Corse.
Oh my God! You should bury your head. Bury your head now.
Well, that's
your newspaper. Why did you get the mirror?
Hang on. I need to defend myself there. That wasn't me suggesting that's what it should be called. That's me suggesting that's what a porno version would be called because they use very bad puns.
I think it'd be Inspector Hung Like a Horse.
Anyway, I bought the mirror because you told me off last week for not having bought the mirror for a while.
Well, I wondered why you hadn't. And also, I noticed now that you've dodged the times yet again, even though I did the times once and it took me several weeks to recover from. And you are going to do the times next week, Simon. I'm going to insist on it. You're going to actually spend time doing the times.
Is this just a massive bluff because you actually have nothing worth talking about in the Telegraph this week?
I've got loads of stuff that's really cool in the Telegraph this week. And as I seem to remember, the mirror features one supplement.
Yes, this is the thing. I remembered why I wasn't getting the mirror recently. It's because it has one supplement, as you say. Well, one other than the sport one, which we kind of banned. It's called Celebrity.
And who's your favourite celebrity, Simon?
Well, genuinely, my favourite celebrity.
It's Cheryl Baker, isn't it?
No.
Ryan Adams?
No. You want to know?
Jack Black?
It's William Shatner.
Is it William Shatner?
Oh, yeah. William Shatner.
I like William.
I could quite happily snuggle up under his toupee.
You wouldn't be able to. The ego in there is too big for you and a toupee.
That is true. So, come on, I need to know what the Telegraph has to say about the world this week.
Well, it's got quite a nice little article here, which I really like. I mean, Telegraph, you've got to understand, it's got some good stuff. It's got, like, you know, Sandy Toksvig as their columnist, and it's got some cracking interviews, which we'll be talking about later. But the article that I most liked is "Not One Picture Shall Leave This Island. Churchill's wartime order to protect the nation's yacht, yet keep it in this country, meant quarries were blasted, roads were rebuilt, and secret convoys of vans set off for Britain's most remote and secure outposts." It's literally on the eve of the Second World War. Churchill got all the nation's paintings from London through fear of them being bombed to bits and got them packed off to Wales and hidden in, like, people's living rooms.
That's pretty cool.
It's really cool. They had all of these paintings, this before the motorways and stuff, trying to fit these massive Napoleonic landscapes under small little Welsh bridges. And it's brilliant, and how they had to disassemble bits and put things back together. It's a great article. I loved it.
So some sort of farm cottage in the Rill Valley would have had a couple of Rembrandts up on the wall.
They kind of lent them to, like, the state houses. This nice quote here, though, is, "One of our troubles at Penryn Castle is that the owner is celebrating the war by being fairly constantly drunk." So no, it's really nice entrusting the nation's treasures. And there's a picture here of the quarry that they emptied out, and literally it looks like a secret lair. And
so
it's just
on. So they then hung up the paintings around the quarry in, like, a weird art installation.
Yeah, it does look like a weird art installation, or like a James Bond baddie. But yeah, it's basically a cave underneath a quarry that they just hollowed out for the purpose of keeping pretty paintings in. And then it talks about sending them back. And there's a nice quote from Kenneth Clark. "When the war ended, one private owner whose paintings had been stored at Bangor wrote to Davies, 'They look as though they thoroughly enjoyed their 5 years in Wales. In fact, they don't look a day older.'"
Were they confusing the paintings with the evacuee kids?
No, because the evacuee kids took several weeks to get out of London, whereas the paintings were sent the day before the war started.
What, they sent the paintings first?
Yeah, before the children. The Prime Minister's actual words were, "Hide them in the caves and the cellars, but not one picture shall leave this island."
Is that your Churchill impression?
Oh, my Churchill impression. For a girl who never really paid any attention, I thought that was quite good.
It was all right, I'll give you that. But do you know what the weirdest thing is? My cut out and keep.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to believe this.
It's about
it's about autumn fashion must-haves.
Which
I thought...
Oh, yeah. I think that really denotes exactly my feelings towards the mirror. Go on.
Apparently, I need to buy myself a lace dress.
Lace?
Yeah.
Like doily?
Yeah, she says, I love the current gothic craze, but I'm not sure I actually want to look like a member of The Cure.
I quite like the fact that with the economic breakdown and everything, everybody wants to look like death. But the thing is, it's gothic for women, but all the men this season seem to be sporting sort of like... There's a lot of tweeds going on, and there's a lot of waistcoats, and there's a lot of like little brogue shoes, and there's a lot of sort of canes and piping hats and jolly flat caps, and everybody looks like they've escaped to the country and bought back a corpse. It's very Roger Corman this season.
Okay, I've also got to have leopard print heels and an oversized tartan bow.
Oh, that's not a good look for you, Simon. That's not really a good look for anyone, apart from Bam Bam in the Flintstones.
So I think I clearly win this week on Cut Out and Keep.
Bam Bam, attack. Bam Bam!
Time to play Article or Farcical.
Yep.
That is, I was going to say yeah. You're not excited about the fact that I'm doing it this week.
It's upsetting me, the fact that you've changed around events. You're like the government in charge of the monetary system. I don't trust you. I don't like it. And as soon as I feel a bit better, then I want all my stuff back.
Except the bad stuff, which you don't want anymore. They can keep that.
You can have my debt, Simon. You can have my debt. But I want all the credit of being the best player at this game.
So basically, I have three articles from my paper and I've made one up to make a fourth farcical. So Izzy's job is to guess which ones are real and which ones are not.
Right, Simon, when you say which ones are real and which ones are not, do you mean you've actually lied? Because if you've lied, when you do lie, don't give it away with any surreptitious giggling. Because
right, I see. You're trying to Darren Brown me, aren't you?
If you were to giggle, even slightly, during the one you made up,
yeah,
that might give it away. Because you know you've made it up and it's not going to be funny because you made it up. But don't give it away. That's all I'm saying with any little nervous tics.
Okay.
Or by slapping yourself. Or...
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Number one. Blue Peter.
Peter or Peter?
Peter, as in P-E-E-D-E-R.
Right. What's that about?
That's about the 50th anniversary of Blue Peter. And they said that the most memorable moment of those 50 years was the elephant having a whiz on the studio floor.
Right.
Blankety Planks.
Blankety Planks, what's that about?
That's actually from my sport pullout.
You're doing sport?
And that's because Liverpool didn't beat Stoke.
They didn't beat Stoke. Didn't they beat Man U or something this week?
I know that Gerrard scored a really good goal.
I'm not very impressed with your selection so far.
Top of the Chops.
That's all right.
That's about Michael Chopra, who scored a goal for Sunderland.
Oh, for goodness sake, you can't go into the sports section.
I can. Have it's I a ever... pullout. It was a pullout. I can legitimately do it.
Well, then you're just opening up the supplements to sporting things now. Do you really want to do that?
Yes, but you haven't noticed the theme that I'm running.
Blue Peter, Blankety Planks and Top of the Chops.
And finally, Only Pools and Courses, which is a feature on a leisure retreat in Spain, which has 3 golf courses and 10 swimming pools. But I have a theme going. I was going to give you a bonus point if you could guess the theme.
TV shows.
Yes, puns on TV shows.
Right.
I think the staff of the Daily Mirror have a competition every week to say, right, this week's puns have to be based around old sayings that your gran might say, or classic TV programmes.
Right, so Blue Peter.
Yeah.
I can't imagine any... I'm very, very, very hesitant about Blue Peter. One, because I don't think it is Blue Peter's 50th anniversary. And two, Peter. Really? That sounds like something Dunn would do.
Okay.
Blankety Pranks, I don't think you'd make up something in sport. So the same goes to Top of the Chops, which is Only Pools and Courses, which actually is the better pun. So I'm tempted to go for Only Pools and Courses because 10 swimming pools and 3 golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. In Spain?
Yeah.
Now, you see, that's a double bluff, Simon. You're doing the yeah as if to say, yeah, that's really happening. But it isn't. So I reckon Blue Peter's the one you made up. That's the farcical.
So Blue Peter, you're saying, is the farcical?
Yes.
Okay, let's go through them. You're right to think that the sports ones were genuine. Both Blankety Planks and Top of the Chops were from my...
Damn it!
Sorry?
It was Only Pools and Courses.
Now, so that leaves it between Blue Peter and Only Pools and Courses. And I'm sorry to say that the one I made up was only pools and courses.
Knew it would have been. Damn it!
You lost. See, it's not as easy as you think.
Well, I didn't lose.
I did quite blatantly lose. You chose the one that was the first one I found in the newspaper. It's the centre page spread, and it's the 50th anniversary of Blue Peter.
But they really call it Blue Peter, because
they
that's
They really
awful.
Do, yes. And there's a picture of the elephant having a whiz. So I win. Ha ha ha. That means that I automatically backdate all the wins of Article or Farcical to me. So therefore I'm the best.
Fucking communist is what you are.
Interviews. I've got an interview with Jada Pinkett Smith.
Who's that?
The Hollywood actress on her sexy superstar hubby Will Smith's romantic side, brackets, lucky lady, being a hot mama, and why she's a secret baking sensation.
Is she a Scientologist? Does she talk about that?
No. She does talk about fate.
Fate? So what does she say about fate?
Well, the question is, do you believe fate played a part in bringing you and your husband together? And she says, absolutely. I auditioned for The Fresh Prince when I was 19, but she was too short to play his girlfriend.
Yeah, that would be quite funny.
Well, he can't be that tall. Movie stars aren't tall.
Yeah, but Will Smith's a bit tall.
He can't be that tall, because if the wind caught his head, he would start revolving like the top of the wind sensors on boats.
Are you saying that his ears are like ice cream scoops?
That's exactly what I'm saying, yes.
But the trouble is, they both face the same direction. You'd have to twist one of his ears upside down so it's facing backwards for that to happen. Otherwise, if you just blew some air at him, he'd be knocked backwards a long way.
Break his spine.
Like that, yeah.
Okay, so can you beat that? Can you beat the fact that I've learned that Jada Pinkett Smith would never eat a Big Mac?
Who do you want to start with? Hugh Hefner or Judy Finnegan?
Can we combine the two?
Okay. So, what do you want to know? I'll be both of them. You interview me.
Okay.
Go.
Right. So, Judy, is it true that you're sitting in your talk show?
She says no. She doesn't have a drinking problem either.
Sorry, does she actually answer that question?
Almost. She talks about the nasty rumours that go around and says there's no founding to them.
Well, of course there aren't. I mean, it's a bit nasty of me to ask, but, you know, it's better than asking about how many Hugh Hefner's got off his centre spread models, isn't it?
I quite like her, but she's apparently very dark, and Richard apparently tidies up a lot around the house, which is quite amusing.
I imagine he's quite annoying, actually, around the house.
I think so, yes. As in, she's reading a book and goes to the loo or something, and when she comes back, it's gone, and he can't remember where he put it.
So what about Hugh Hefner? Does he do any housework?
He doesn't say. He's got three girlfriends at the age of 82, which is pretty good.
Yeah, they're real proper caring relationships, I bet.
Well, no, he has a proper caring relationship with one of them, and he just sleeps with the others, I think.
Well, I was reading about evolutionary biology. It makes sense for him to have three girlfriends at that age. It means his gene pool is going to be a lot wider.
His gene pool's in the shape of a bunny rabbit.
That doesn't surprise me. Does he make them wear the outfits around the mansion?
I don't think he makes them do anything they want to. His daughter's now pretty much in charge of the thing. She actually talks about politics a little bit. I mean, Playboy was doing very well from the years like 1960, 1970, so very good. And then when the 80s hit, it's very weird because they got hit by both the rise of AIDS, which really made casual sex look very bad, but also by right-wing Christian groups and feminists.
So from every angle.
Yeah, pretty much from the left and the right. What's really nice, though, is that his daughter has a little defence of Sarah Palin.
Right.
I've always believed as a feminist, what underlies the power of feminism is the idea of choices, says Christie, a supporter of Barack Obama. The fact that Sarah Palin chose to be a beauty queen makes her no less intelligent or capable. What troubles me about Sarah Palin are her views. Because I know a lot of people who are getting very annoyed with the people getting involved in the whole presidential debate who've got nothing to do with it. Like Matt Damon.
Yeah, he was quite nasty, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, and it was really snobby.
The Democratic reaction to Sarah Palin is almost worse than the Republican demeanour towards Hillary.
Yeah.
It was a political hatred of Hillary.
Yeah,
whereas
rather than the personal one.
It's a personality thing with Sarah Palin.
I mean, the problem with it is that they don't know anything about her other than, you know, what she presents. And all she's really presented in terms of policy and in terms of history is her personality.
I suppose so, yeah.
Some of the criticisms are very unfair. On the other hand, I don't like her, so it's kind of difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking of interviews, did you see Tony Blair on The Daily Show yet?
I didn't see Tony Blair on The Daily Show yet. Was it look good.
Yeah, he looked quite uncomfortable. And I thought, to be honest, John Stewart normally gives people a bit of a free ride on interviews. But he took quite a few cheap shots, I thought. And I think Tony Blair kind of made his case, but wasn't given enough time.
Did he say that he liked George Bush, though? I saw a clip of that in the news.
Of course he said he's liked George Bush.
It's seen as a massive big deal, that. The idea that anybody could like somebody who's obviously going to be charming and...
Well, yeah, I think if anyone met George Bush, they would probably be incredibly surprised at how charming he was. Like Tom Greaves said a few weeks ago, it would be ridiculous to think that he wasn't charming.
It would be ridiculous to think that he was stupid as well.
Absolutely.
There's this thing on BBC, I think, called The World's Strictest Parents. And they sent these two horribly bolshy teenage British kids who weren't treating their parents with any respect at all, really. And they were very insecure in themselves and taking it out on the world in general. And they sent them to live for just over a week with these very Christian, very conservative, very strict parents in Alabama. And these parents were the loveliest, most charming, most forgiving and warm people I have ever seen ever on television. Seriously, this guy who is obviously a fundamentalist Christian, they've got psalms written around their house, they're very conservative, and this guy was giving this gay teenager from Brighton the biggest hug in the world, saying he wished he could be his son, that he has so many things he couldn't be proud of and that sort of thing, at the same time as being a disciplinarian and stopping them from smoking cigarettes and that sort of thing. And you're just like, oh my god, it was the most amazing piece of television I've seen. It almost made me cry. I was just like, oh, I just can't stand the fact that people can't see people in people.
Yeah, it's almost the kind of label mentality, isn't it? If you're a Blairite, or if you're a neocon, or if you're a fundamentalist Christian, a lot of people can't get past that.
It really freaks me out that actually there are a lot of nice people in the world, and that actually almost everybody, you can get along with them all right. That's what freaks me out.
See, I think that's a good thing.
I know it's a good thing, but it's a bit weird.
Anyway,
why?
Just fuck off.
Okay. Love you.
Your hate mail now. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't expect the response to our pleading for hate mail to be quite as large as it was.
It was a little bit vociferous, really, I thought.
It was a little bit... some of it rang a bit true. So...
yeah. If you're going to be rude, make sure it's about stuff we won't take personally. Dear Sunday's Subtle Mess... Which is a good start.
Yeah.
When am you going to stop? Every week I force to listen to your dribble, and I won't like to anymore. So stick your podcast into somewhere not shiny and swivel there. And they haven't signed that.
They haven't even signed that. I'd claim credit for that, because that's a beaut.
But this starts so well. They've obviously spent their load on the Dear Sunday Subtle Mess. And then just thought, oh, I don't need to do any more now.
We've got a very, very, almost Daily Telegraph-type letter from Mr. Simon Jones. It says, Dear Sirs, my name is Simon Jones, and I am based in Sussex. I will not tell you the town. Okay?
Fine, be like that.
I find your podcast both offensive and tedious. Maybe yes. With some refinement, you could possibly manage to make yourselves acceptable to the sort of invertebrate you share your minds with. However, the fact that you are now cluttering up what was once a grammatically correct iPod, I've banned the Who from my collection, is both imposing and irritating. As is Izzy's wandering accent. Excuse me. And I, this is quite funny, because it's instead of is she posh or not, it says, Izzy, she, posh or not. Such things must be rectified before I continue to download. Also, Simon's name must be changed, for it confuses my wife into thinking I'm talking in the third person. The fact that I listen to your broadcast is only due to my inability to unsubscribe and my personal demons, which snuffle out any media involving butt monkeys. Yours, Simon. P.S. Do you know where I can get myself a butt monkey?
Well, that's raised the bar substantially, readers. So if anyone wants to try and clear that bar with some sort of pole-vaulting letter of diatribic hatred...
You will win a butt monkey.
You will win a butt monkey. There you go, there's your prize. The best hate mail you can send us will win a butt monkey.
As will pictures of Simon next to a butt monkey. That's Simon Dunn, not Simon Jones. But bless Simon Jones!
So if you want to write to us, it's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com, and in the subject line, put... hate mail.
I'm very upset that Simon Jones is in fact married.
You have a thing for him already, do you?
I do. I'm sorry, but when somebody says the fact he only listens to us because he's unable to unsubscribe from iTunes and he has personal demons which snuffle out any media involving butt monkeys. I mean, it's the snuffling out. Of a butt monkey.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just beautiful. But yes, you can also write to us via our Facebook group.
Or, and I've just had this thought, it's beautiful.
What? Okay.
You could record yourself being hateful and we will play it on air.
But it has to be, you know, able to broadcast for the kiddies. So you're allowed to use the phrase butt monkey, but not cut fucker.
Someone asked me this week, what is actually the score? And so I actually went through all the episodes that we've done and totted up a scorecard. And would you believe that you have only won 4 and I have won 307?
Do you know that there is a fish with fingers?
No, there's not.
Scientists have discovered that fins were already developing into finger-like structures before fish ventured onto land.
So there are sort of some mid-evolutionary fish with fingers.
I'm a winner, Simon. I don't know what you're talking about right now, but I'm a winner. And you can make up
statistics. Well, you've clearly won this week.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I have. I mean, if you know, I don't mind if you want to win.
Oh, I see. You're being patronisingly generous. I've got enough wins under my belt. You can win with your ridiculously rubbish supplements this week.
Well,
if it makes you feel better, you can win.
Well, let's look at, you know, in terms of, you know, the economic situation, I mean, my paper cost me, what, £1.90? That's quite a lot of dough to be splashing out, you know.
Yeah, but you get more
and
for
you've
your
been,
buck.
You've been just as entertaining, though, with one supplement. You've put as much to the table.
Is he being nice thing just turns into sarcasm.
I'm not being sarcastic.
Well,
why would you think I was being sarcastic?
I shouldn't win because my paper once employed Piers Morgan.
Well, we've gone through this argument. It actually sacked Piers Morgan, and that was the Daily Mirror, so it's not really anything to do with anything. So maybe you should win after all. Let's just look at sheer value. I mean, I don't have, for example, any pictures of George Clooney. Go through your paper, count how many pictures of George Clooney you have. Do it.
You would have to have picked George Clooney, wouldn't you?
Well,
a double-page spread of George Clooney.
Nice.
And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 pictures of George Clooney.
Oh, you see, it was good value. All I've got is a picture of Alex James walking. That's it. No other pictures. And also some quality canteens of cutlery.
Oh, I don't want to win. The mirror can't win.
What, against the absolutely beautiful... I mean, we didn't even do travel this week. I've got this huge thing about going to China, and it's really entertaining. But if you want to win some, you can win. It's fine. I'm not that competitive, really. I'm just here. I'm just having a fun time.
You did, of course, lose article or farcical.
Well, if you think that was losing, that's fair enough. I think our readers know that that's not really losing. If you want to win this as well, you can.
Okay, so the paper you should have bought last Sunday was the Sunday Mirror, apparently, because Izzy's feeling sarcastic.
I think we all know that if you wanted to buy a paper last Sunday, it was the Daily Telegraph.
Oh, so now you're claiming a win?
No, I'm not claiming a win. I'm just saying we got to maintain some sort of standard, Simon. And that standard is not you.
See,
I win, you see? Oh, thanks, Simon.
God's sake. Right, fine.
Oh, Simon.
The paper you should have bought last Sunday was the Telegraph.
The Sunday Telegraph.
Sorry, the Sunday Telegraph.
Was Izzy's paper, the Sunday Telegraph.
So does that mean you've won? Is that what you're saying now?
The Izzy Lawrence winner.
Right,
name
fine.
And like.
Do subscribe to us via iTunes. Write things there and other places that are nice, except the hate mail.
Yeah, don't please write hate mail on our review, because people won't understand that unless they've listened to the broadcast.
That is true. Don't write hate mail in public.
Yeah, write hate mail to us in private and we will read it out in public so that people know that, unless it is genuine hate mail, I suppose, yeah. Which can't really stop you. But, you know, you wouldn't hate us that much. I mean, I know you'd hate Simon that much, but I'm lovely and I don't have a wandering accent. All right.
So join us next week when I'm going to get the Sunday Times.
Ooh.
And live in it.
Aww. Bye-bye.
Bye.